Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Matt Jones, the guy who wants to probably run for office one day. It turns out that he's hypocritical.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We were looking at nude statues with a leaf over the junk.
And James Strebel.
Crane wins. He wins. He did it. Jack Grossman freaking did it.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Might be something to think about. Might be something to consider. Or just remain hypocritical. You choose. I'm good with that. Run for office one day. Lose. Burn up a lot of money. Or win and get Richie Farmered. Whatever you want to do.
I don't know. My opinions on that is... I mean, look, he's playing the hits.
Perfect opening. Yeah, he's feeling good.
I am.
Yes, Jack Grossman is walking around the office with a puffed out chest.
Hello, ladies.
Go ahead, hit your damn sounder. All right, it's 3 o'clock. It's The Take on ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm Andy Sweeney. He's Jack Grossman back at the station. I'm at the home studio right now. James Strebel, you know Big Rig will be here in about 3:15 or so. And we got you for the next 3 hours up until 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, the ESPN Louisville app. Pat Forty doing some traveling, so he'll join us a little early, 3:25 or so today. Not tomorrow. Let me promote Pat 40 tomorrow. No, 40 coming up in about 20 minutes or so. And then we'll dive into a deep college basketball discussion with our guy Mike DeCourcy coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Okay, so Jack, before we get to you, let me just set up what I need to hit on slash accomplish in the next 20 minutes or so. Okay, number one, right. We'll talk about Jack Grossman here, okay? Now, Strebel won't be here, you know, in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm sure we'll dedicate more time. Anyway, so we will do that at some point here. I will pay Jack Grossman live on the air on Venmo, a radio bit that's not interesting whatsoever, just me pressing a button on my iPhone, okay? So we will do that. We need to make it a big deal. We have the sound sheet is... I mean, and I think I agree with Maben and Rummage on a lot of this stuff. I mean, they went nuts on Tom Jurich today with the list that came out that there might be interest there. Barry Jackson, Brett McMurphy retweeting it. Of course, McMurphy and Jurich are boys. Take that for whatever it's worth. So we got the Jurich stuff that we talked about, 2 days ago and a little bit yesterday, Jack?
I think it was mainly yesterday.
Yeah, and then it's kind of grown into now a bigger story that's just openly being talked about. So we got to get to that Kentucky basketball one last night. That's where Jack was. That's where he continued his ascension into the stars. So Kentucky basketball one. And then at some point here, because I'm going to ask 40 about it, people love to fight so much that now they have made college basketball attendance the next thing that we can all battle at, right? The Kentucky fans can take the picture of the Yum Center when there's nobody there at tip-off, and Louisville fans do the exact same thing because, of course, they should. Of course, they do. And that's been the next fight. I put stuff up on Twitter. I'm very passionate that college basketball does not have in the grand scheme, I don't believe they have some big attendance issue. Okay, nothing that's bigger and greater than what some all entities that are booking live events may or may not be dealing with. They have a scheduling issue when, you know, half the season is a bunch of throwaway football, or a bunch of throwaway basketball games. So we'll get to that as well. Well, Jack, what do I do with you here? Are you the lead? I guess that's what we need to talk about. Okay, now I need to admit something, and I don't want you to be furious at me. Okay.
actually, that you didn't hear it live?
No. Well, here's the deal. Are you ready for this?
You didn't think I was actually going to do it?
Well, no. I want to set up everything that's happening, okay?
All right.
Kentucky basketball, I'm watching on the iPad, so I'm 30 seconds behind. And by the way, Kentucky won big last night. If you did not hear Dan Issel rip for the first, what would you say, Jack, 15, 20 minutes today of their show? I mean, Dan, everything Issel said, I totally agree with, okay, as far as who Kentucky played last night and the hilarity of it all. So anyway, Kentucky wins, whatever. I got some KenPom numbers that we can dive into. Mount St. Mary's now, what, 300th in the country in the KenPom. So there might be a point that simply beating Mount St. Mary's and playing that game could end up hurting Kentucky's numbers, like with the KenPom. That happened a couple years ago when Louisville beat. Remember this, Jack? They beat Bryant University.
And they went down.
And they went down. They beat Bryant University.
Happened to Indiana on the Archer also.
Yeah, Indiana probably. Yeah, that's a great point. Indiana ran into that there's some teams you think by winning by 23 men. Something and Trace Jackson Davis has 21-14, but it actually hurt you. You would have been better if they had no electricity in Assembly Hall and they just canceled the game. Anyway.
It was like last year when Louisville went up by not playing during the COVID pauses.
Well, so I'm watching the rest of the game on the iPad because me and my wife were watching this show on Netflix called Midnight Mass. Okay, and so you know it's one of those where you watch one episode, you're not going to not watch the next, right? Like everyone knows what that is. And I was so here's the thing, there's a climax in the show that is going to be at the exact same time that some of this Kentucky stuff is going on. Okay, and on top of it. It looked like Kentucky was not going to cover the number, and I had bet Kentucky to cover the number, okay? So at this point, I'm disgusted how they played in the first 10, 12 minutes. I'm mad at all these backups. Who's the super short point guard that's not Wheeler? That guy. Who's that kid?
Oh, the walk-on.
I mean, he kept turning the ball over.
That's the one that wasn't Canada or Zampain.
I don't know, but stop! And so at that point, I'm furious. So all of this is intertwining. I did not hear it live. And every time it's been played on the station today, I have tuned out. I wanted to keep myself clean and pure for this moment. I swear to you, Jack, I have not heard it. The closest I got was queuing it up, okay? And I heard a second of it. I heard your voice, and I sprinted out of the room. I swear to you, that is all I heard. Yes, setting this up, we're going to be self-involved here. Yesterday on the show, this is us having a big mouth. And now I owe Jack Grossman $100. And Strebel's the one. You getting $50 out of Strebel, that's hurting him. He's not going
Jack,
to
have $100.
All right.
If you ask Cal something.
Come on, Jack. Can I ask him a question?
No. A specific question. Not a question. I'm not going to have you ask about ball rotation or, at the 419 mark of the second half.
What do you think about Sheboy's 15th rebound?
I don't care about any of that. Here's what it is. You ask him if he's talked to Mike Woodson about renewing the UKIU rivalry.
Oh, Jack.
Jack, you'll be the hero. Jack, do you understand?
I'll throw in 50.
$150.
I've got your bingo, Jack.
$150.
I don't know if I have the stones to do that.
Okay, and so then we talked about it, and then you left like 30 minutes later, and I swear to you, until Jason N. started texting me, I did not think about it at all, Jack.
That's all I thought about for five hours.
That's what I wanted to bring up. That's exactly, thank you. That is exactly what I wanted to bring up, because I didn't think about it, but then I go, I bet Jack has been battling himself for the last however many hours.
For about 5 hours. That's all I thought about.
He's going to ask. And see, that's where the content is. And I got to be honest, I didn't think about that even before bringing it up. I just thought, we'll offer $100. It's me being a jackass, okay? It's just me being stupid. He won't do it because why would you? Because, I mean, you do know the people there are like, who's that? Like, Cal looked at you.
Oh, like, he gave me that stare, like who the hell are you?
Like, that's the beauty. The content here is that I threw him out there, and I cannot believe that you got $50 from Strebel, and he didn't even wait. He gave me the money. Like, we didn't do any build-up. Like, he didn't think about the show. He just Venmo'd you. Whatever. I bet Strebel's Venmo is extensive. Don't you?
A lot of Bush Light.
There men hide money somewhere.
Yes.
And I contend that might be a spot that James Strebel Big Rig does that.
It's an easy spot.
Yeah, so anyway, we do that, and Jack is right that, you know, he's going to cover some games, and including would be Kentucky. And it's a stupid, silly thing, but in that moment, John Calipari, you would say, is enthused about how his team played last night, right?
Yes, he was very happy throughout the pressure.
He was very happy, okay? He was very happy, okay, in a press conference. And sitting there is Jack Grossman. Sitting there smiling up at him.
Smack dab in the middle
is smack of the seat. Dab in the middle of a sea of blue. Sorry, Jason Markham. A sea of blue, okay, is Jack Grossman, who Cal doesn't know, who he's never seen. Listen,
nor should he know.
Yeah, no, Cal has seen all of these gas bags for a decade, over a decade now. Like, he knows, Jerry Tipton, the TV guys are here. And lots of times, if there is someone new to the market, you know, Eric Lindsay may say, hey, would you meet, you get to meet the coach. Hey, you know, I'm Andy Sweeney, and I moved here from Buffalo, New York, and I'm starting to cover the Kentucky Wildcats for KYT, right? You get a little meet and greet, right? A little meet, little greet. You understand?
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to get that ever.
No.
So anyway, Jack is
there.
If there
was 1% of a chance, it's gone now.
and apparently, you ask about Wheeler.
Yes.
Okay, not Roosevelt nor Reggie Wheeler. Xavier Wheeler, who, by the way, since that opening night with Duke, again, bums in two games, one turnover. Anyway, I think that was last night.
Yes.
So
eight assists, one turnover last night.
And then I start thinking, okay, do I want him to do it? Because then I'm like, okay, the press conference is going on. And before I could turn it on, and I was getting ready to turn it on, everything exploded. My phone exploded. Everything exploded around me. That yes, that Jack Grossman did ask John Calipari the
one question he hates more than anything.
I didn't think you would put your supposed reputation up there like that. That was my whole reasoning.
Neither did I.
I sounded
so in that initial clip, like I sound so sure that I'm not actually going to do it.
Oh man. Okay, so now we need to hear it. By the way, 437-9680. It's the take on ESPN 680. I don't know if I'm gonna give you big time thoughts on Kentucky basketball. Strebel can do that when he gets here. Ty looked much better. I don't know. That's what I know. She weighs a beast. He's an absolute monster. Oh, man. Oh, it's DJ Wagner's stepbrother. Is that it? Okay. Well, I wish you wouldn't have turned the ball over like three times there at the end when your boys got minus the number in Kentucky, all right? Like, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Payne. Thank you.
I'm convinced that everyone that was left
so
at Rupp Arena at the end of that game was either being paid to be there or had money on the game. Because there was a moment after Zam Payne gets the layup to put him up 26.
Oh,
Mount
St.
Mary's breaks the press, and they have a wide open three with about 20 seconds left.
Wide open.
And you can just hear all of the air out of the arena. Just out. You just hear everyone go.
Oh,
and then
man.
Just when it, you know,
it
wasn't even close. It was just an exhale.
My
everyone
goodness.
In that building that was a paid fan.
We've all been through this. We've all
had
been
Kentucky
through this.
Minus the number.
Because all I could think of is I'm going to crush Kentucky like Locke would have. So that is because they didn't cover the damn number. All right, so let's go. I have not heard this. So Cal's confused. His look of, I mean, he... he mother bleeped you, Jack, behind the scenes, man.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm not getting to ask another question at these presses.
Yeah,
I'm
you
done.
Will. That's why, dude. Some of these guys ask. You've heard the nonsense that we play around here. Cal's a big boy. He's fine. Anyway, he said nice things about Mike Woodson. I'm not sure I care about his answer. Anyway, so this is it. It's all in one clip, right?
Yes.
Do you stutter? Do you stammer? How many times did you say it in your head?
A couple dozen times in my head.
Okay, so you were practicing this for several minutes there while sitting in the middle of the media room. You were in the belly of the beast.
Yes. Okay. I have to set the scene for you before I play this.
All right, go ahead.
So, obviously, beforehand, when you first brought up, I think there's no believing why I'm actually going to do this. Then I'm driving to Lexington. I'm thinking about it. When I get to the game, I text a couple friends saying, should I actually do this or not? And they're all telling me, yes, do it. Take the money. Because they're not the person that actually has to ask it, so there's no consequences for them.
Right, they can say whatever.
So,
right.
I think the turning point for me was at halftime. I went down to court level, and I talked to Mike Pratt.
Okay.
For like 6-7 minutes during halftime.
Okay, now you're talking.
And at the end of our conversation, he's going, to go call the rest of the rest of the game, the second half, and I ask him, should I ask Cal this question?
Like, so you ran it by Mike Pratt, the luminary, at halftime?
Should I ask Cal the question?
A grandfather figure for you. You ran a life. So you told him you had $150.
Yes.
Oh, no wonder. He just wanted to see us lose money then.
Brad says, go for it. You should ask the question. So at that point, I start feeling like, okay, I'm starting to turn the tide, and I'm going to ask the question. But then I also have that thought process of, I can't let the first question I ask at this presser, the first UK game I've ever covered, be about that.
So you made it Sabir Wheeler.
So I went with
having
the Sabir Wheeler question.
Way.
Yeah, he did have a good game. So I asked that. And then I'm thinking, okay, where do I pick my time to try to do this?
And you go to the end, which you essentially did, I think.
Yeah, so the last three questions, it was John Hale, then Daryl Bird, then me. So John Hale asked his question, and I'm thinking, because Eric goes, okay, John Hale, then Daryl Bird. I'll raise my hand when they give the mic to Daryl Bird. Then Daryl Bird asks his question. Before he asks the question, Eric goes, Daryl Bird, and then we'll see if we have time. And I'm thinking,
okay,
oh,
and this
no.
Is your moment, and this is your
so
moment.
I'm convinced now I missed it. I'm now convinced.
And no one's going to believe you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know I'm done at this moment. I'm thinking, damn it, they're going to run out of time. I'm not going to get to ask the question, and I'm going to get crushed. And that would have happened.
But, and that would have been good content as well.
Yes.
Like I would have done it, because I would not have done it.
Yes. So I raise my hand. Eric kind of does the little nod thing, and I'm thinking, there's no chance. I've been in that situation before up in Bloomington. Like,
crawling.
I know there's no chance.
My skin's crawling because you got the nod of approval from Eric Lindsay.
So Cal finishes his answer talking about, I think it was CJ Frederick or something, talking for like 90 seconds. So I'm thinking, there's no way it's done. But then Eric points to the middle, has one of the interns give me the mic, and I'm sitting there thinking, it's actually happening now. This is the moment. And I have my mask on, which becomes important here because everyone down there was wearing a mask, and I mutter out the question.
Coach, I don't know if you were aware that the Kentucky women's team played Indiana on Sunday with first-year head coach Mike Woodson. Has there been any discussion?
Say what?
Has there been any discussion with Mike Woodson, the new head coach up there, about trying to bring that series back in some way, shape, or form in the future?
Mike and I are good friends, and, we've talked about stuff, but there's nothing imminent that I could talk to you about. We got to go to Notre Dame. I think we got to do a Michigan thing. You still got the Big 12. You still got Louisville every year. You got the two tournaments that everyone wants in that we're in. That's everybody wants those tournaments. The greatest thing about those two neutral games is the four teams that are in are lucky, because the minute anybody would drop out, there'd be 50 teams calling and begging to be in those tournaments. So, got through the Georgia Tech thing, but Mike's a good guy. From what I understand, they're doing well too, playing good basketball. Let me tell you, hell of a coach. And he's a great guy. I could tell you stories about what makes him a great guy. But he's doing great.
So that moment
did
where
you
he
make
goes,
eye contact the entire
yes,
time?
Yes, the entire time. Because I noticed that with the Wheeler question. Is it like, you know, when I was up in Bloomington and with the Archie pressers, you would ask him and Archie would like stare at a water bottle or stare into oblivion or something.
Well, here's the
thing. I noticed this with the Wheeler question. When you ask Cal something, he stares at you the entire time while he's giving the answer.
Patino did the exact same thing. Patino did the exact same thing most of the time. Absolutely. Oh man, I miss that rush, man.
But when he
I
goes,
missed that. You'd have rushed, didn't you?
Yes. When he goes, say what? I was like, oh crap! Yep. I'm done. Yep. I thought I'm done.
It's so cringeworthy. But you know what? He gave in the middle of that. Honestly, Strebel's here, by the way. In the middle of that, he gave an answer about the Champions Classic and the CBS Sports Classic, which goes into the conversation about attendance. Attendance is down because Duke and Kentucky don't play at home because they play in, you know, Indy or Madison Square Garden or whatever.
Chicago.
Strebel's here, by the way. There he is. You have a very unshaved look today. I like it. You're a little caveman-ish today.
Yeah, a little caveman-ish.
But that's like the thing. Like, his answer there actually is a great little bite that we could use, because while Cal is right, college basketball set up a system to screw the fan. And I want to get to that. So there you go. We got to take a break. Do you want to say anything to Jackie Boy?
No, just...
I got to send him money, too, by the way. Send me your little... I got to watch out how I say that. Send me the code.
Yeah, the handle.
I want the code. No, not the handle.
Because the little code thing?
I'm a code guy.
Yeah, you like the code.
I'd rather go direct link than have to search Jack Grossman.
Right.
I want to make it easy.
Yeah, no, I jumped up out of my chair when he asked the question and went, yeah! Like, I was so happy that he did it.
Oh,
Cal was mad.
Cal MF'd him.
He did.
Cal
he
MF'd
walked
him.
Out and told Eric Lindsay, listen, who's that?
Cal heard your name last night, Jack.
I want you
to know that. He heard your name.
Yes. And it got picked up. Greg Doyle wrote an article about it.
Oh, you got Doyled?
Doyle wrote an article about Cal's answer.
I'm kneeling.
I'm
bending the knee. Bend the knee.
We're both bending the knee to you, Jack Grossman.
We're bending the knee.
Yeah, Greg Doyle wrote an article about Jack's question and
this
Cal's answer.
This has nothing to do with Kaepernick. Leave us alone.
Yeah. We did. We bent the knee. If you were in front of us, you had a ring, we'd kiss the ring.
Clay
too.
Travis, huh? You never bend a knee during sports radio.
That's right. Never kneel.
You never do that. Has nothing to do with the flag. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Lib. All right, let's take a break. That's a 90-second right where you're staring Cal in the
The puss. Right in the puss.
Oh,
and he's
good for you.
He's burning a hole in your soul.
In your soul.
With his eyes.
Wow, look at that. Jack's the king. I am sending him money now. Pad 40 next. All right, so we're back. Fun show so far. Mike DeCourcy going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk some college basketball with him. Kentucky winners last night. We'll dive more into that. Jack Grossman, a hero. We bent the knee. We'll talk, I'm sure, more about that as we go today. But he's very busy. I know you're traveling. Pat Forty joins us here from Sports Illustrated on this Wednesday. Pat, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right, Andy. How are you?
I'm good. We're making it. We'll tell you about Jack Grossman here in a second. Can you tell us where you're going, I guess, this weekend? Anything fun?
I'm actually going to Greensboro to see Stanford swim in the Greensboro Fall Invitational.
There you go. Okay. Well, there you go. Well, have fun doing that. Beautiful Greensboro. That's there you go. That's what I'm talking
the
about.
Capital of the ACC for, I don't know,
for
a
now.
More
yeah, for a couple more weeks. So Pat Forty with us. Jack Grossman, I think you'll find some amusement in this, Pat. Jack Grossman became a hero to many. Unprofessional, but it's also kind of funny. He covered last night's Kentucky game for us, for the radio station, okay? And we were just kind of kidding around on the air. If he asked John Calipari a specific question, we give him money.
And the total got up to $150, and we did not get our money's worth, I don't think, still. But a Jack Grossman was sitting in the middle. You've been there, Pat, in the middle of Daryl Bird, and you've been there, right? Buzz Baker,
oh,
right?
I've been there.
Yeah, you've been the belly of the beast. He was in the belly of the beast. Now, Jack loves doing this, like, and he's very good at it. He loves college basketball, and he asked John Calipari the biggest hack question ever, which is, what about the rivalry with IU?
Oh, he didn't.
Cal answered and gave a fine answer, but he did stare him down for 90 seconds. And he was probably thinking, who the hell's that?
Yeah. Did he stare him down before he responded or after he responded?
I think the entire time.
He actually cut me off and had me repeat it mid-question.
Oh, which is even worse.
Tremendous. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, hey,
that's good theater. Good theater.
So Jack Grossman asking that, and then Greg Doyle wrote about it. So Jack is very happy; feels like he has accomplished something in the journalism world.
Well, I have to say, I don't know what Cal's answer was. What did he say?
I mean, nothing. Nothing's happening with Kentucky and Indiana. Nothing. there's nothing happening. Yeah. Like, no, we're going to stay in the, you know, we're going to schedule how we've been scheduling, which I want to definitely get into. What do you make of Tom Jurich's name being on the internet right now about Miami? What are your thoughts?
I mean, it actually makes some sense to me. Miami has had a hard time finding a good football first AD who can make a good football hire, which is Tom Jurich. And while I believe Tom deserved to be fired at Louisville, I'm not sure it necessarily needed to be the end of his career. And if I'm Miami and looking for somebody to revive my football program that everything revolves around down there, I'd talk to him. I think that it could be a really good spot for Tom Jurich and a good hire for Miami.
People are going to lose their minds. I agree with you, but I mean, people here are going to lose their minds because, you know, how we left. Some people, you know, went from loving him to not loving him, and some people that didn't like him continued to do so. But you know, he's got backers here. I mean, you know, we know that. Even though he's been gone now a couple years, I mean, that would be a story that would just light this place on fire, Pat. It really would.
Oh, it would be something. Now, the only thing better is if he brought Bobby with him, but I don't anticipate that would happen.
What about Rick?
So,
what about Rick?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Because Larinaga's done, and my man Ricky P is 3-0.
Larinaga's is about 83 years old. So, yeah. Oh, my. Wow. My mind hadn't even gotten that far.
Really?
So
it's the first place I went. Iona's 3-0. Now, Patino doesn't have the house down there, I guess, anymore. And the only reason I know that and remember that is because our good friend Cooper was in studio today. And he was, of course, you know, name-dropping and doing all the things that he does on a continuous basis. but yeah, I hear Rick Patino does have Dolphin season tickets. I don't know how much that's worth, but he does.
That's worth exactly as much as any other. You know, like this is the season where it's like, so and so has a condo in Destin, so of course they'd want the Florida State job. It's like, you know what? Eventually, when you're getting paid $6 million a year, you can have the condo and actually work in Siberia, and so you can still work. There's planes that go back and forth. Dolphin season tickets to me does not say Rick Pitino wants the job. I mean, he may want the job completely unrelatedly, but I'm not going to use that as the leverage for why Rick Pitino's going to Miami.
I just can't imagine, Pat. I just cannot imagine. I just can't imagine. I just got to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's given us some fodder around here for the last couple days. Wanted to get your thoughts on a couple different things, obviously. I haven't talked about this yet, but I'm going to. The attendance we have seen at Kentucky or Louisville games, and I even put on Twitter that, you know, college basketball, the home slate, when you look at home slates, Kentucky and Louisville, and I don't mean the non-conference schedule, because they're, you know, they play some good games. Kentucky played Duke. We know Louisville plays Mississippi State. Michigan State's on the road. Kentucky this season is on the road. But the average KenPom right now of Kentucky's non-con schedule at home is 239 and Louisville's is 207. And everyone keeps talking about attendance and blaming the fans. I mean, college basketball is a sport where, you know, it can be 40-50% of your season are non-desirable games.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's brutal. It's just the
239
complete abdication of giving your fans good home non-conference games is terrible to me. You know, everybody putting everything on neutral sites, I don't like it. You know, that just doesn't appeal. You're asking fans to give more money, you know, to pay more for parking, to pay more for food and drink, and to see worse games. It's very untenable, especially at a time when you can watch from home in relative comfort and with a lot of replays and, you know, big TV and all that stuff. So, you know, I think that that is, once again, college athletics telling the fans, we don't respect you, we just want your money, and we know you're a big enough sucker that you'll give it to us.
Yeah.
But now, to your point, people are not showing up at Yum Center. People are not showing up at Rupp Arena, and that's why. You're giving them a bad product to come watch.
Yeah, and it's become a, you know, rivalry thing. But I tell you, both places, it's jarring at tip-off what they look like. Pat Forty with us. A couple more. I want to get, obviously, some college football stuff. What do you make of Louisville basketball? Losing to Furman, you know, there's probably at least one more loss out there. It doesn't look like it's clicking. It looks like they're trying to see what they're going to do besides Malik Williams at the big. I just don't know what to think of Louisville basketball, and I didn't think the Chris Mack suspension would be this big of a deal, but there's a potential. It is, Pat, this big of a deal.
Yeah, oh, it is. I mean, look, if you're losing to Furman at home, then what's the first place you look? Well, the head coach in there? Okay, that might be a factor. No, it's a disappointing start. I've watched them some in two of the games. I didn't see any of the Furman game, but I did watch a bit on Monday night. And, you know, they do look like a bunch of disparate pieces that they're trying to put together. You know, there's not a lot of continuity and familiarity there. I don't know. I still think they're very much figuring each other out. And try to do that without your head coach at game time, I think, is added difficulty. They may not be any good even when they kind of get cohesive, but for now, you know, it's extra awkward and ungainly at this point. So, you know, if you're a Louisville fan, I think you have every right to be dissatisfied at where things are. You can also hope that it's going to get better, but it needs to get a lot better, I mean, to really have any kind of season to be excited about.
Pat Forty with us here from Sports Illustrated at by Pat Forty if you want to follow him there. Next week we'll dive into more of the Governor's Cup. You know, it looks like you know, Louisville should obviously beat Duke. Kentucky will take care of New Mexico State. Do you expect David Cutcliffe to retire and just be next to Arch Manning for the next 5 years or so? That's going to be a pretty good job for David Cutcliffe, you think, from Duke?
Yeah, I think this could well be it for Cut. He's had a great, great run at Duke. He's been perfect for Duke, and Duke's been perfect for him. You know, that's been a really good marriage. The fact that they let him, you know, play out the string while, you know, going through successive losing seasons here at the end, you know, tells you that Duke was just happy to have David Cutcliffe and should have been. So, you know, I think I would, if you're Louisville, you expect a pretty inspired Duke team tomorrow night because they know that it's the last home game. They should know. They should at least realize or sense it's almost assuredly the last home game for David Cutcliffe. They're going to play hard. They're still terrible. I mean, Louisville should still win the game, but yeah, be ready for that. And then, you know, does anybody have any interest in that job? I don't know because it's not an easy job. And it's a place where they, you know, it's everybody knows what the priority is there, and it's not Duke football.
Two rumors, 10-year deal, $95 million maybe for Mel Tucker. That is swirling out there along with LSU's interest in Lincoln Riley. What do you make of those two big coaching stories in the last 48 hours?
Yep, the Tucker stuff started to percolate last week. We were looking into that, so I think that's definitely in the works. I don't know the exact dollar figures. I guess that wouldn't surprise me. If you feel like you have a transformational coach, you do everything you need to do. You overpay to keep him. They overpaid to get him to begin with. You overpay to keep him. you take him off of the market when the market is going to be really robust with LSU and USC and Virginia Tech and maybe Florida and some others. So, I guess that in as much as anything makes sense in the nonsensical world of college football, I believe I'd buy that. Lincoln Riley, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me. I think, you know, Lincoln is probably realizing, all right, we're going to the SEC. Well, I'd rather be at a place that's more equipped to win in the SEC than Oklahoma. And that would be LSU, and you could pay you like a Sultan. I still think Lincoln Riley's ultimate endgame may be the NFL. But for now, Scott Woodward's going after big names.
You know,
I still am not sure he's done with Jimbo. But Lincoln Riley is another huge name out there, so I'm not shocked that they are making a swing at him.
Last one for Pat Forty, and we'll let him go travel. Would you rather be Texas or Florida right now? Football.
Oh, Texas, boy, I'd rather be Florida. I mean,
I agree.
Like I said in the column, Texas is going into the SEC about like Rutgers went into the Big Ten.
Oof.
I mean, like they're a tire fire. They're a complete tire fire they didn't even make a good hire to go in there. They're probably going to have to get rid of Sarkisian next year and start it over again. I'd rather be Florida and know that you're already in the top half, top third of the SEC, and that's really not going to change. You can't kind of screw up Florida. You can underachieve, but you can't totally break Florida. So I would much rather be Florida, and I think you can still get a very good coach at Florida.
Well, good luck this weekend to the family. Safe travels, Pat, and enjoy all the games, basketball and football. We'll catch up, you know, next week, maybe a little Thanksgiving, talk a little Governor's Cup. Appreciate the time.
All right, sounds good, Andy. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680 1057 at @bypat40, SISI.com. You can follow him there. I didn't, a couple things I want to talk next week with the Governor's Cup. Has something happened to the ACC? Which we can, I'm sure you want to talk about that. And how no one cares, like the college football playoff. Have you guys watched it in the last 2 weeks?
No, I was watching it. I watched it last week because it was in between the game, in between the Champions Classic games, so I didn't watch it. But no, I didn't watch it all last night. I was locked into that.
10 years, $95 million.
I saw that Mel Tucker.
That'd be amazing.
Got the bag, man.
I mean, he's gone, Steve.
Who, Vince Merrow?
He's gone, Steve.
You think he's gone?
I think he's gone,
Steve. Think he's gone? Okay.
I think he's gone,
Steve. Well, we'll see.
I think he's gone.
We'll see if Stoops can pull a rabbit out of his hat again.
A rabbit out of his hat.
This year.
Rabbit out of the hat.
And get some more money for
Big
Dog. Oh,
that's what you need. You need more money.
He needs more money.
They need more money for the Kentucky football program.
Yeah.
For the tight ends.
The tight ends coach.
Who doesn't have tight ends?
Has been revolutionary this year.
I know.
Well, I think Cummings has been pretty good. Comparatively,
I need to look at. I mean, he had a touchdown against Vanderbilt.
He did.
He was also called Kyle Pitts.
Yes, he was. I believe Daryl Bird.
Was it Roush? was it Bird?
Birdman.
By the way, and we need to get into this. It's just, I was going to bring this up. I don't know what you guys want here. Do we pivot back to Jack? I don't know what we do here. But the attendance stuff.
Yeah, I know you're interested in that. I'm surprised by that.
No, I'm not interested in it.
I thought you were.
I'm not, but now it's become full weaponization between the fan bases. It was never nuclear. Cerebral, it was never nuclear. Even like Bobby 2.0, how that ended, no one was making fun of Louisville fans because it's like, why do you go for this?
Well, we understood.
There was an understanding there. But I mean, like I'll give you a great example. Kentucky, New Mexico State. I don't care about the pictures because no one should go to that game.
No, it's going to be a cold noon Saturday.
No one should go to that game.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
It's become now nuclear. I feel like in the last, I don't know if it was the year before COVID, then we took COVID off, and we all became worse people, and now it's now.
Yeah.
No, but I hate the discussion.
But no, I understand.
No one hates the discussion more than when I hear the discussion,
right?
Even on our airwaves, and it gets to HDTV, and you can use your own bathroom, and you can drink your own beer.
Yeah, you got a refrigerator full. And you got snacks all over the place.
At that moment, I'm done.
You tune out.
I tune off. I tune out. It doesn't matter what you
say. Out too.
I just don't. I don't need to hear it.
Right.
And with college basketball, listen.
They've got themselves to blame for that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How do I give you anything new? Kentucky plays nobody.
I mean, their KenPom of what Kentucky plays,
it's embarrassing.
Is I mean, Mount St. Mary's 300, Albany 296, North Florida 239, Central Michigan 309, Southern 301. By the way, Louisville played them. High Point 274. I don't hold High Point against them. And even if you give me a two or three of those, I'm fine.
Sure.
But college basketball, college basketball has a scheduling issue.
Yeah.
College basketball wants to feed you these bad games, and it's the only sport, and I feel this way.
Yeah.
To where
college football does it too, but there's not as many because there's only 12 games.
Yeah, but here's the difference. College football has been called out for it, Jack.
Yeah, they have.
College football is called out, has been called out for it, and there has been a movement, and it's not worked. Listen, Kentucky is part of that.
Yeah.
Okay? And there are still some schools that are gonna give you three unwatchable games a year. And we know that.
That's going to change,
but
though.
They've been called out. College basketball, this is the, like, it's still that you have to get a bunch of bums.
The formula.
So you can, so you can figure out your team for 2 months out of the season.
Yeah.
And you can only play one good team or okay team every 2 weeks or whatever it may be.
It's not even that.
And you know that, and here's the thing. You know what Cal thinks. Jack, ask him the question.
Yeah.
You know that Cal is going to play as many of these games on neutral sites. It's never going to change. And now, after he was embarrassed last year, and what did he do last year? He whined about the difficult schedule.
How hard it was.
How hard the schedule was.
How
crazy he was to put that schedule together.
Yep.
And it has even further cemented. And here's the thing, Jack. Here's the difference. And I don't believe in college football changing. It just, they push these games. No one pushes for this in basketball.
No one
pushes for this. So you know who pushed? The fans.
They're starting to
the
push
fans.
Back. Yeah.
The fans. And the thing is, there's no pivot. There's no – everyone's like, no, you think Mitch Barnhart is going to tell him not to – it's not – and he always, here's my biggest problem. Callie did this with Jack. It goes, no one's asking you to cancel the Champions Classic, buddy.
No.
No one's asking you not to play Ohio State in the CBS Sports Classic and have a bunch of your fans go out to Las Vegas.
Right.
No one is asking that. That is not, that is a, it's a lock limb. They're talking about Robert Morris, Mount St. Mary's, Ohio, Albany, North Florida, CMU, Southern, and High Point this year. Obviously, if it weren't for Tubby Smith, replace High Point with another bum in
another
the, in
like
the KenPom 200s.
Yep.
No, it's having eight games that, and then, you know, the Louisville game rotates. So last year you had Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is not a good game. They beat you because you stink. Notre Dame is a whatever team, but you know what? That should be the kind of game that's all the time. That should not be a big deal for Kentucky and Notre Dame to be playing. It should not be a big deal for Louisville and Memphis and Cincinnati and throw Indiana and all. It's stupid. You have a college basketball scheduling issue, and until TV and until AD stand up, nothing's going to happen. It's not up to John Calipari. It's up to Mitch Barnhart and the people in charge of Kentucky basketball to do better. To do better. Cal, you run the program, but you're not higher than Mitch Barnhart.
No.
We're not scheduling eight games for the foundation. And guess what? You get to the SEC, and this is the same in the ACC, and it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss, and you can't help that. But Georgia sucks. Vanderbilt sucks. Ole Miss right now is outside the 50.
Mizzou sucks.
Is an NIT-type team.
Yeah, Missouri's not
good
either.
I mean, so you're stuck
either.
With South Florida, Carolina Alabama, sucks. LSU, and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Those and that's fine, and we like conference
Arkansas.
Play. Yeah, but they're not at home.
Oh, they're not at home.
Yeah,
I got
yeah,
you.
They're
okay,
on the road.
Okay.
I'm talking about
home games.
I'm talking,
I got you.
And it's a tired discussion. But it listen. You can bash Cal. I'm all go ahead. I'm saying it's from top down. It needs to change. It's from television. It's from Mitch Barnhart and Vince Tyre. It's from, and I'm using them as an example, with the ADs. I mean, that's what it is. It's not, I mean, if you had better games, Look what the atmosphere was when UNC has played at Rupp Arena, or UCLA walked in Lonzo Ball and beat Kentucky.
Texas there a few times.
On that Saturday afternoon when Kentucky went on the road
Kansas
to Texas
in
Tech.
In the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Chris Beard. Remember that? I mean, Chris Beard, Kentucky walked in with Emmanuel Quickly and company. Did they won that game?
They won
right?
that game. It was a great game.
And it was a big win, and the atmosphere was, I mean.
Texas Tech fans were camping out for that game.
Here's what I don't get about TV. They shun that atmosphere until you get to February, the 1 month until March, and then they care.
Then they build it up,
and then they care about college basketball. But it needs to be demanded at the highest level. And since no one will do anything, good on you for not going. Honestly,
yeah, no, I'm with you.
Honestly, I'm not bashing the fans.
Hell no.
What I don't like is how it's just become this annoying, yet another weaponized crappy tidbit
in the
rivalry
yeah.
where everyone thinks they're doing something. And now everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Reputable journalists now are doing it to where at the Yum Center or at Rupp Arena, especially Rupp Arena, because they love taking Kentucky to task, I guess.
Yeah.
That we know what the stadium looks like. Thank you.
We get
for
it.
Everyone's hard work. Thank you for everyone's skill. Thank you for everyone's journalism.
For
taking the picture that shows that the basketball stadiums are empty, that Kroger Field's going to be empty on Saturday, and if Louisville Duke were at home
it would be
on a Saturday,
on Thursday.
It'd probably be, and Lamar Jackson wasn't here, it'd probably be empty too.
Yes.
I'm like, let's get on the train.
We got to do it.
Let's go.
Well, I've done
we
it.
We got to do it.
I did it this year already with the basketball team. With Louisville, I did. I did it the first game.
Well,
we know that. I know.
I'm part of the problem. You are.
Yeah, I'm part of the problem, and I understand that. But the football is changing because, I mean, Sankey's saying, no, you're adding another conference game. So football is changing to a degree. College basketball, he's like, whatever. But, no, Kentucky will have to add another conference game here in the next few years, and one of those bums are going to be gone.
I disagree with that because, yes, one of the bums will be gone, but you see it in basketball. They're using the fact that, you know, the ACC and the Big Ten now play 20-game conference schedules. They use that as an excuse to play less marquee games home and home.
For basketball, you're right about that. And with football,
I think you could see, I mean, Kentucky already doesn't play, you know, marquee non-conference games, but you could see other teams do that as well for football. Say, well, we don't have to play this non-conference game because we play non-conference games now.
Yeah, you might see games like the open the season, Alabama versus Oregon or whatever we've seen in the past go away possibly if they add it. That's a good point, Jack.
Listen, I will give you three games in basketball. I'll give you – we can argue whether I give you one or two bums in college football, but that's it.
Yeah, that should be a line in the sand.
That is it. Yeah. I want to be clear with that. Like, I'm not saying you can't have an Ohio, Albany, and St. Mary's. We can work something out here.
Three or four of those.
No,
whatever.
Not four of them. I'll give you maybe three of them. Okay. Again, college basketball, it just feels like to me we have to do this big lead-up so the teams can develop. And it's like nothing matters because the teams are developing.
Right.
And you wait until they develop, and it's like like the only good thing with football is like, let's go. It's game one. Like, Satterfield, get your ass out there. Stoops, you better not lose week two while you're developing to Missouri. You better get going.
Right.
But in college basketball, it's, let's play eight bums. Let's play Rob Morris, St. Mary's, North Florida. Throw Furman and Navy in there, and there we go. All right, so we're done. Now we don't have to talk about that anymore. How about that?
Brought that off our chest.
How about that?
Yeah, there we go.
We may circle back around. I know Jack's got some stuff on that.
Of course he does.
But I did just get an alert.
From who?
From CBS Sports.
What did they say?
What are they saying?
Indiana UK chatter resurfaces.
It works every time.
Every single time.
Jack, it works every time.
I'm waiting for the Nick Vitale retweet.
Here's what you need to do. You need to take the audio, and I want you to email it to Peegs, Bozen, anyone that you know that is in your contact list. I want you to mail it. You understand what I'm telling you?
Jeff Goodman.
And we got to get more. I mean, if you got CBS and you got Doyle, I mean, we're on a good start here.
This is hierarchy.
Now, it needs to pick up now.
Yeah.
We need to forward it to Dickie V. That's what we need.
That's what we need. Vitale picks up on it. I mean, it's done.
Listen,
That's highest level.
I mean, he's taking cancer treatments. I don't know.
I'm saying it's a good thing. No, I'm saying Dick Vitale.
No,
understandable,
but like if. Like, we can't have Nick Valvano.
Oh,
Dick Vitale like the day after he had chemotherapy.
I understand what I'm saying. Yeah, he's recovering. Yes, like when he called him and woke him up.
It's when Coach K announced his retirement.
That's what it was.
Dickie V had no idea.
Nick and I broke the news to
him.
He was in Florida. He was sleeping.
He was sleeping after a big night out.
He was in Maui. He was on vacation.
Oh, he was on vacation. Oh.
And hello. Dick Vitale answered the phone. Hello.
Hello.
And Nick Valvano and Jack Grossman. Broke the news to Dick Vitale.
And he didn't believe us at first.
Coach K was retiring. That's a great chapter of Phil Baker's book about the stations. It really is.
Oh, Phil's writing a book? I want to read this
Nick's
book.
Eating spaghetti? No, it's just...
I'm kidding.
Let's take a break. We need to take one. 437-9680. On the other end, Jack, what do we do with this sound? What do we do with it? Do we play it next?
Is it blank?
Blank's...
He did it again.
Again?
He did it again.
He was asked a question about UK and U of L. The answer is going to crush you. Streeple's going to crush you. And I don't know if we... Jack, let's talk during the break how we split this up.
Okay.
Because we got multiple haymakers, and we got 2 hours to go.
We have DeCourcy at 5,
And
too,
we have DeCourcy at 5. Yep. We got some time. 437-9680. It's The Take. It's Wednesday.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.